Faithful Word Baptist Church. Great to see you all here for our Sunday evening service. If you could all please have a seat, grab a hymnal, and then turn that hymnal to song number 129. We can begin this evening service by singing song number 129, Rock of Ages. Jesus bear the cross alone. Song number 13.
We have our service times listed, as well as a church-wide soul winning. We started 1 Kings. We'll be in chapter 2 this week. We got the notes there about our church. Be sure to silence your cell phones if you haven't done so at this time. And we got the salvations and baptisms. Go ahead and count up salvations going back to Friday or Saturday. Is there anything from the group Saturday? Anybody go out? No? And then today, we had the two. It's been a pretty fruitful patch down there in South Tucson, so amen for that. Amen. Then over on the right-hand side, don't forget the New Testament 90-Day Challenge. You got the reading schedule there if you need it. Otherwise, just make sure you get it done by March 31st to win the prize. Operation Compensation is in full swing. Do we get any Bibles today? Any false Bibles out there? No?
No.
So I can get one. All right. Then we've got the men's preaching night beginning the first last Tuesday of this month and the last Tuesday of every month thereafter until we either take a break or change the schedule. So that's going to be open to those that are 18 years of old. And just take note of the other announcements there, the details there. Don't forget on the back, the year-end giving statements are available by request for 2021. So if you need one, please just email the church at faithfulword1@gmail.com. So if you come to me after service and say, hey, I need one of those, I'm going to tell you the exact same thing that this is telling you right now, to email the church. That's the best way to get it if you need it. And then also Mexico Mondays, join us for a day trip to Nogales. And this is open to, you know, if there's people that aren't Spanish speaking that want to go, just let me know. I think Brother Chris is kind of is it taking folks that are speaking English too as well? So if that's something anyone wants to do, just speak to me. I can speak with Brother Chris and see how that all that works out. So if that's something you're interested in, that's available. That's the first Monday of every month. So keep that one in mind going forward. And then we've also got the 2022 camping trip that's been booked. We've got the facility up there at Southern Pines Baptist Camp, and we've got the dates set. So hopefully everybody can make it out. It's going to be great. I'll have more details to come, but we'll probably end up booking a couple of the preachers, pastors that we know, and it's going to be an exciting camping trip. I'm already looking forward to it. There's things we could do if people. I don't like to schedule everyone's day up there. I don't want to make people. If they go up there, they can kind of do whatever they want. But there is opportunity if people want to do like a 3-on-3 basketball tournament or something of that nature. I don't know if there's enough room really for football. I know that's what you guys are into down here. But I don't know that there's a lot of room up there for that. There might be. I don't know. We'll have to go take a peek. You might end up chasing the ball down the mountain. But there's definitely enough field goal things up there and plenty of trees. But there's other things going on. You could do foosball. So if over the next 6 months, if you think of something that you would like to do as a church, you know, kind of a function or activity up there, let me know. But just be prepared to volunteer yourself too, because I've already volunteered myself for the kitchen, and I should have my head examined. So for wanting to do that, I don't know why I did that, but I did that. So. But that's that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And that's going to do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the preaching tonight.
Song number 45. When I can read my title here.
Bye.
13. That's Hebrews chapter 13. As always, we'll read the entire chapter. Please follow along silently as we read from Hebrews chapter 13.
Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1 of the Bible reads, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds and bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, the whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as we have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which is not profitable to them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar where they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest whose sin, are burned without account. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the count, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, and to do good and communicate, forget not, with such sacrifice as God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they must give account. As they must give account, they may do it with joy, and not with grief, but as is profitable for you. Pray for us, and we trust you have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you to rally to do this, that it may be restored to you the sooner. By the God of peace, I brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is more pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They have Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. For the faith in which, pray for us.
Lord, thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the salvations we have today. I pray you help and grow in you, Lord. I pray you bless the preaching, Lord. Bless Brother Corbin with your spirit. Help him preach for us. Help us to apply something to our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 13 there, if you look at verse 24, it says, "Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints." And I want to preach a sermon tonight called "Salute Them That Rule." Salute them that rule. Of course, you know, salute is kind of short for salutation, you know, which is greet. Or, you know, I think in the context that Paul's using it here, it simply means to acknowledge that there's people that rule over you. You know, and this is something that we need to learn to do in all areas of life. You know, children need to learn to salute or acknowledge the fact that they have parents that rule over them. We as employees must salute or acknowledge the fact that we have those that rule over us in the workplace. We as citizens in general have to salute and acknowledge the fact that there is a government established, there's rules, there's laws that we can't just go around breaking without consequence. And, you know, it's this way in so many different areas of life. It really shouldn't come as a surprise that God would have it this way in the house of God as well, in the church of God, that there are some people that are called and put in positions to rule, and to rule specifically over the flock. And, you know, that right there would put a lot of people off. A lot of people today, they would have no problem submitting to an authority figure in the workplace or maybe even in the home, even though that's getting to be a bit of a stretch as well. But at the very least, they would, you know, salute or acknowledge the fact that there's authority, you know, in society. You know, they would obey the laws of the land. But you suggest for a moment that there's somebody that's called in the house of God to rule, and people, you know, they bristle. They get all kinds of bent out of shape. And they think that church is just some kind of free-for-all where everybody can just do whatever they want. Well, you know, the Bible's making it perfectly clear. We're going to look at several other passages that there are people who are set in positions to rule in the house of God, and there's a reason for it. And just like any other authority, you know, they have bounds of authority. Their authority only reaches so far. Obviously, it's them that rule over in the house of God. You know, my authority, you know, ends at that church door. You know, I don't go check up on you throughout the week and make sure you're living your life right. You know, that's God's place. You know, you have an authority in the Lord who's going to oversee all of that. But as far as in the house of God, what's going to be taught, the direction the church is going to take, all the decisions that have to be made, somebody has to lead. Somebody has to be put in a position and say, has to have the final word in what's going to take place in the house of God. Okay? Because otherwise, it just turns into a madhouse. Everybody has an idea, you know, that there would be no direction. You know, organizations have to have leadership. They have to have people that rule in these organizations. The church is no different. Okay? Now, keep something there in Hebrews chapter 13, but go over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. I mean, and again, 1 Corinthians 12, but Hebrews 13 tells us to salute all them that rule, have the rule over you. You know, and that salutation, again, is an acknowledging of the fact that there are people that rule. Now, I wouldn't take it so literally as to think that when you walk in the door, you have to stand at attention and say, good evening, deacon, you know, and give me a literal salute. But I believe what he's getting at here is that I think you should get in the practice of saying hello. If anything, that's something I struggle with. I get so busy before service, and I get tunnel vision that I start to forget to salute the brethren, which is something we're all supposed to do. So forgive me that wrong, but you know, when we're coming to church, we should be ready to greet one another, and the leadership is no exception to that. You know, and we have a great spirit here. Our church doesn't struggle in this area, but you know, it's just worth pointing out. You know, something we should keep up. But he's saying there that you need to salute them, right? Salute them. Acknowledge leadership as leadership. Acknowledge the fact that in the house of God, somebody calls the shots. Okay. Now, again, this is something that falls upon people. This is something that somebody has to fill that void. That doesn't mean that people don't have other areas where they serve within the local church. This is something that kind of people kind of find their place in church. That's kind of what I've noticed in church, is that people, their strengths kind of come to the forefront over time, and they kind of naturally find where they fit in the body. God kind of puts them where they belong, and everyone just kind of finds their place. You know, and it's not a matter of one is better than the other or one is lesser than the other. Just everybody kind of has their place. And just because somebody's ruling in the house of God doesn't make them a better person or a better Christian, albeit they should be an example. We'll see that here in a minute. But, you know, it doesn't make them necessarily a better in some way. Okay? It's just that everybody has to fill a role. And some people have a role of leading, of ruling. Okay? You're there in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man may say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And without going real into this, I just want to point out the fact that Paul is telling us here that there are diversities of gifts. And what does it mean to be diverse? Meaning there's many different gifts, right? The people have diverse gifts, but it's all the same Spirit. People have differences of administrations. People are going to fill better roles better than others. Some people have more of a clerical mind. You know, people are going to be more prone to deal with, you know, the nuts and bolts of some, you know, computer program or something like that. It's something I think about because a lot of what I do as deacon is, you know, I deal with a lot of spreadsheets. You know, I'm putting in this fact of attendance and giving and stuff like that. Whereas some people in church, you know, that probably wouldn't be something they are very good at or even enjoy. You know, and I'm kind of confessing my nerdery up here. I kind of enjoy spreadsheets, all right? So hopefully no one thinks less of me for that, all right? Amen. I got an amen on that, right? But look, not everybody's going to be, that's going to be their strong suit, right? And I'm just using that as an example to show us that people have different what? They have different administrations. They fit in the body in different ways. They have different roles that they can play. You know, people have different, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So there's all these differences. There's all these different roles. No one person can fill all of these roles. But we have to understand that though there are all these different roles, it's all the same God. It's all the same end. It's all the same Spirit, the same Lord that we are serving in that. Okay? And again, I'm just kind of making the point that, you know, when I talk about saluting them that rule, acknowledging those that there are those that are called to rule a local church, not as some kind of a chest-thumping sermon up here. What I really want to get across tonight, what I'm really hoping to accomplish, is to help people to be at ease with leadership and be at ease with coming to leadership when they have issues with leadership. Because of late, you know, and a lot of people are, but it does happen from time to time that you have people that have problems with leadership. And look, leadership isn't perfect. If you're expecting me to be perfect, you know, you might as well just leave now. You know, because I'm sure by the end of the sermon, you're going to find out I'm not perfect, okay? But, you know, people, they sometimes don't want to go to leadership because they're afraid of how I might react or something like that. But here's the thing. I don't expect to be perfect up here. And if I make mistakes, I want people to be willing and able to come to me and talk to me about that. Or if people are just uncomfortable, maybe it's not I did something wrong. They're just uncomfortable with something that I'm doing. They're uncomfortable with something that we're doing in the church. You know, you should be able to, salute them that rule. Acknowledge the fact that there's people that make those decisions. That's who you need to be talking to if you are uncomfortable with something that the church is doing, okay? And again, we're kind of getting it, and that's what I'm hoping to accomplish with this sermon, you know, is get people to be comfortable with that. That if I ever do anything or upset you in some way, that you'd be comfortable with coming to me about it because I'm a reasonable person. And I'm starting out just showing us, look, you know, yes, there's different people are called to rule, but there's room for everybody to have something to do in the house of God, and we're all important, okay? Goes on in verse 8, he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. And, you know, a lot of these gifts are things that have been done away with, okay, and I'm not going to get into all that tonight. That's not the point of the sermon. What I want to point out in this passage is it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit over and over again. Verse 11, but all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You know, just because one is called to rule, another one is called to obey, another one is called to follow, that doesn't mean that we all aren't working towards the same end, okay, and that God is going to be glorified. We all need to fill the roles that we fall into in the local church. And we shouldn't think less of our service. You know, we think, well, I'm not the one getting up preaching and getting the amens and getting the, you know, 24 views on YouTube or whatever. You know, I'm not the one who's standing up in the spot. I don't get all that glory, you know, and there's not a lot of glory, folks. You know, but people might think that. They might think that their job of, you know, mopping a floor or leading a soul-winning time or whatever menial task that kind of goes unnoticed by, you know, others and those in internet land, you know, they might think, well, my job isn't as important. But the Bible tells us the opposite. We should not think less of our service just because we're not one that's called to rule. Okay? Now, if you would look at verse 15, it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? He's saying, if the foot says, well, I'm not the hand, I'm stuck in this stinky old shoe all day. You know, I don't get to do everything the hand does. I'm not out in the open. I don't get to wear that fancy ring. You know, get through all that fun stuff and swing that hammer and build that and build this. I just carry this big lug around. I'm just a foot, right? But does that mean he's not of the body? Does it mean it's not important? And look, people can get this attitude in the local church where they just think, well, you know, my job's not that important. No, your job is important. Yeah. And when people go missing, when people are gone, the body suffers. He says, and if the ear shall say, verse 16, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? I mean, the ear might get a little disgruntled and say, well, no one ever compliments what color I am. You know, she never puts any makeup on me. She never dolls me up. Every now and then I get a Q-tip stuck in there and that's it. That's about it. Right? But it's still important, isn't it? You know, and we, of course, the illustration, it's a very basic illustration, but, you know, try going without any of these members. Cut the ear off. Cut the foot off and see how much you miss it. But we need these different roles to be fulfilled. You need the foot, you need the ear, you need all these different roles in the local church for the whole thing to work towards the same end. He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think they, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, God tends to use the person who thinks that they're not that important because they're not full of pride. You know, that's the one he's going to doll up a little bit more. Verse 25, why? To what end? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We should all consider each other equally valuable. Okay? But that's not to say that, you know, we shouldn't at the same time salute them that rule. Acknowledge the fact that there is somebody that is the head, that there is somebody that's going to steer the body. But again, I'm just kind of laying the groundwork that we all serve to the same end. You know, and I'm kind of preaching that because I want people again to understand that, you know, if we have the same goal in mind, then you should be perfectly comfortable in coming to me with things. You should be perfectly comfortable coming to me, expressing concerns, coming to me with ideas, or anything like that. Because we're all working towards the same end. You know, and I'm not going to just say, well, don't you know I'm the head here? You're just a foot. You know, who are you to tell? No, of course not. You know, that would be as foolish as me saying, well, I don't need my foot. I'm just going to cut that thing off. You know, the leader, if there's no one here for me to lead, we're not going to get the work done. I'm not going to knock all those doors myself. I'm not going to get all those salvations done myself. I'm not going to change lives and help people learn the word of God if I'm here alone. We need the body. The body's important. If there's no body, let's close the thing up and I'll go be a foot somewhere. You know, I kind of like the foot. I've been the head a little bit. I'm telling you, the foot's not so bad. Okay, they both have their advantages. We all serve to the same end. However, the point is this, is that we don't all serve in the same exact way, do we? We have different administrations. Some people lead, some people follow. If you would, go over to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter number 12. You know, we should never feel that way about our own service, and we should never feel that way about somebody else. We should never look at another brother and sister in Christ and say, well, you know, they're not as good a soul winner as me, or they don't know the Bible as well as I do. They can't be that important. Look, we need to bestow more honor upon them so that they can be a more comely part, so that we can honor, we should honor them more so that they can grow and be more used and not have this haughty attitude. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Again, these are things, you know, a lot of the things that we end up doing in the local church are things that are just given unto us. They're just things that fall out unto us. You know, God has a way of putting people in the church where they need to be. Verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And I always like that last one. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, it's one thing to forgive somebody. It's another thing to actually mean it. Show mercy on somebody, you know, not giving them what they deserve. Someone wrongs you. You say, well, I forgive you. You know, it's like, well, I can't tell by looking at your face. I can't tell by the way you talk to me. You know, and this is kind of a side point. You know, but he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, if you really want to show mercy to somebody, you want to make them feel comfortable, right? You want to put them at ease. You'd be cheerful. But that's not the point. The point is this, is that, you know, we all serve to the same end. People have different, people are just different members in the same body, okay? Now, again, some are called to rule, and that's just a fact. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Timothy 3, you know, this talks about, you know, the qualifications of the bishop. You know, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. You know, it's one thing to desire, but you also have to meet the qualifications. Not everybody can do that. And one of the, you know, it does say, one that ruleth well his own house. You know, ruling is something you have to be if you're going to be a bishop, if you're going to be a deacon, if you're going to lead in a local church, you have to be one that knows how to rule. Otherwise, people will just run all over you. Because people will just come in and say, no, this is how it's going to be. And if you have weak leadership, you have someone who doesn't know how to rule, they say, well, I guess that's the way it is now. And then you got a different version in there. Now you got the CCM, you know, the Christian Contemporary Music rolling in. You know, now we're dropping all these standards. You know, people will just change things. And we'll be all over the place. That's why you have to have people that know how to rule. And say, no, actually, this is how it's going to be. And somebody has to be in charge. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And notice how he uses rule and care interchangeably. Because I'm kind of getting my head myself a little bit, but this ruling isn't I'm in charge, just this, you know, egotistical, just prideful chest thumping. Don't you know I'm the boss? You know, the person who's called to rule is there to care for the body. They're there to nourish it and to love it and to love the body. Okay? Not to just, you know, turn it into, and look, this is out there where, you know, some pastors, they'll get into it, and what they end up doing is fleecing the flock. They just start teaching, they start treating the church like their own personal servants. Everybody's just there to run my errands or something like that. You know, that sounds crazy, but it's out there. Because, you know, there are, you know, well, you know, good intentioned church members, you know, who just want to please their pastor, please the person that they're, you know, that rules over them, the house of God, and they're willing to do that. They're willing to run that personal errand, willing to do whatever. And I've seen pastors will take advantage of that, take advantage of good people, and just turn them into their own personal servants. You know, the leadership, the one that rules, is there to do what? To care for the church of God. They got it backwards. You know, this is a different type of leadership when you get into a ministry. It's not about, you know, serving self, it's about serving others, okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For why did he give pastors? Why did he give teachers? For their own ends? To serve themselves? No, for the perfecting of the saints, the body. That's you, right? That's me. For the work of the ministry, to get something done so that God's work goes forward, okay? For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we have people that rule. You know, yes, of course, to set the record straight on false doctrine, to draw a line where it needs to be drawn, to take the stand, all of that. But that's not all that they're there to do. They're there to rule, to also care for the body, to edify the body, to make the body grow, and to feed it and to nourish it, to get the work done. For the edifying the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, the ones that are called to rule are there to get the saints ready to meet God. That's what he's saying. You say, hey, we're gonna come unto a perfect man. Let's start working at that now. That's what they're there to do. They are there to serve to the same end as everybody else is in the local church. To the glorification of God, to the edifying of the body. That's what it says in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. You know, yes, speaking the truth. And look, speaking the truth in love isn't always nice. It's, you know, sometimes you gotta say things that just need to be said. Sometimes you have to just tell people, no, actually, you're wrong. And you need to get right. You know, the unloving thing would just be let people to go ahead and suffer the consequences of their sin. Or to go off into error, going off into, you know, some false doctrine. You know, the part of ruling is you have to get up and speak the truth, but also doing it in love. Why? That speaking truth in love, they may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, that's the purpose of leadership in the local church. To help people to grow up into him in all things. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Look, that's the role that we all play in the local church. To the edifying of ourselves. To the edifying of the body of itself in love. So again, there are people that are called to rule, but it's not this, it's not the leadership, it's not the way that the world would tell you to rule, right? Because here's the thing, we're not a prophet, we're not here to turn a prophet, folks. You know, there is no product here that we're trying to turn out. We don't have competitors that we're trying to beat in the marketplace. You know, because if you go into the world and you ask them, well, how do I be a good leader? Well, first of all, you know, the world is going to look at leadership and they're going to see leadership as just some kind of a rank to achieve. Well, I just got to get that rank so I can work on getting the next rank till I'm the top dog. Till I can get the next stripe and the next stripe, and I just got to be the guy all the way on top. That's not what we do as leaders within the local church. That's the difference between traditional leadership, like you see in the world, and what we would call what servant leadership. You know, servant leadership would see leadership as an opportunity to serve other people. So if you're thinking, well, maybe one day I'd like to be a pastor, maybe one day I'd like to be one that rule, because boy, I sure would like to have that title in front of my name, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
You know, if you should go into leadership in the local church because you want to serve other people. Because that's all it is, folks. That's what minister means, to be a servant. You know, so sometimes I do feel a little bit selfish, because honestly, you do get a lot of, anyone who's helped other people knows that you get some satisfaction out of that. You know, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's true.
Amen.
Some of the times we feel best about ourselves is when we've done something for somebody else.
Yeah.
So you know what? I might not be able to go out and make a ton of money, or fill up some bank account, or have the biggest house, drive the fanciest car, take the most vacations, if I were to go out and work some secular job. But I'll tell you what, I feel pretty good about the work that I do, because I'm helping other people.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're called to do when you're called to rule in the house of God, or when you're called to serve in the local house, in the house of God. You know, we all do that. We all see leadership as an opportunity to serve other people. Whereas traditional leadership, they're just going to look at leadership and say, well, that's a chance for me to get ahead. That's a chance for me to achieve some rank and get some seniority. Traditional leadership, they're going to do what? They're going to use power and control to drive performance. They're going to use their position as a leader to drive performance. And that, you know, you can't fault them for that. That makes sense. I mean, if I were running a business, if I owned a business, I would want somebody, I would want supervisors who were there to make me money. Right? That's what you'd want. You'd want them to be there to crack the whip. Make sure people are showing up on time. You're not slacking on the job, not taking too long a break, and getting something done. You know, I'm paying them money, right? That makes sense, but that's not what we're doing here. That's not what the local church is about. You know, the local church, we delegate power and control to drive engagement, to get people to serve God, to get engaged with, you know, serving the Lord. You know, one of the things I've been working on, one of the things I was told early on, is you got to learn to let things go. You got to learn to let things go. And you think, well, it seems like if you're the leader, you do what you should want to control everything. That's the opposite. You in a local church, you want people to find their place and do what they're supposed, you know, do what they're good at doing in the local church, to find their role. You know, and obviously a lot of those roles are things that we all do. You know, we want everyone to be soul winners and so on. And not everybody's going to serve to the same degree. I get that, okay? But as a leader, I can't say, well, I'm going to be the one that just does everything because I just want to do it all. You know, that's I've preached about that recently. That's a surefire way to burn yourself out. But that's not really servant leadership either. Where I'm just going to, you know, and I'm not going to delegate other tasks to other people so I can just get them to, you know, just do things the way I want them done. You know, we delegate to get people engaged in the work of God so that they can take the ball and run with it. Traditional leadership is going to measure success through the output, right? They're going to look at the bottom line at the end of the quarter and say, did we make a profit or not? Whereas leadership, servant leadership in the house of God, they're going to measure success through what? Through growth and development. I don't measure success by how big the church is. By how many people are in here. That's not a measure of success. Now, obviously, you know, if nobody's showing up, we should probably take a check. You know, we should probably say, what's going on here? What aren't we doing right? You know, that could have an effect. But if our drive, if our whole purpose is just fill this place up, look, all we're going to turn into a bunch of compromisers. You know, we're going to do everything wrong. Because you can fill up a church, by the way. They have methods of doing it. You know, you can go out there and learn how to have the rock concert up here and fill, we could pack this place out. But what good would it do if we're not, you know, if we're not engaged in the work of God, if we're not glorifying God through what we're doing? So these are some differences between traditional leadership and servant leadership. So look, when I say salute them that rule, when we talk about people that rule in the church of God, we shouldn't get this defensive attitude where they think, well, you know, who do they think they are? Or think that they're just there to just, be slave drivers or something. It's the complete opposite. You know, servants in the church of God, they're there to lead by example. They're there to edify the body. They're there to care for the body and to help it grow and to become better Christians. Because traditional leadership, you know, they're going to think what? That it's all about them. They're going to think it's all about me. It's all about my rank. It's all about the numbers I produce. It's about me giving a good report to my boss and getting the promotion, getting the raise. It's all about them. Whereas servant leadership believes it's all about other people. They want to see other people succeed. They want to see other people, you know, do better than they have done. They want to esteem others better than themselves. If you would go over to John chapter 13. Servant leadership leads by example. And again, I'm just trying to get people to understand what, you know, when we talk about people that are ruling in the house of God, we're not talking about some, you know, maniacal dictator. Who's just some unreasonable person that can't be approached about anything ever. We're talking about people who are there to serve. And if they're not there to serve, they need to go find another job. They need to go do something else. The people that aren't in it for themselves. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, we're going to John 13, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. You know, those that are called to rule in the house of God, they're not there to lord over God's heritage. And notice he's real careful to tell you exactly whose that flock is. It's God's. You know, yes, this is my church, this is your church, but ultimately this is the Lord's church. This is God's heritage. You can say, well, these are my sheep. Well, you know, I'm an under-shepherd. You're God's sheep. You know, he's just kind of put me there to kind of help you along. That's what I'm here for. But also to what? To be in samples to the flock. That's how servant leadership leads. Not by just barking orders and telling people what to do. You know, and that would be a very stupid thing to do in an organization where it's 100% volunteer. Think about it. I mean, that's the day, if I just turn into that, you know, people go, well, I'm not going to volunteer. That guy's a jerk. He's always just bossing me around, telling me what to do, and telling me I'm not doing this, or telling me, I mean, no one would want to volunteer. I wouldn't blame you. You know, servant leadership, they are supposed to be in samples. You're supposed to be able to look at them and say, oh, that's how you live the Christian life. Oh, that's how this is supposed to be done. Lead by example. You know, and that's what Jesus did. He led by example. And let me ask you, is he somebody that rules? Oh, yeah. I mean, there's none higher. I mean, he is the ruler. He is the chief shepherd, right? But how did he lead when he came here? Bible says he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient unto death. Why did he do that? That we might follow in his footsteps, to show us how we ought to be as well. Look at John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. And notice what the Holy Spirit, the narrator, is pointing out to us. Before about what we're about to read, verse 3 is important. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus, knowing full well who he was, the Lord God Almighty. Amen. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water in a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. We're talking about God. And it wasn't like Jesus was oblivious to the fact that he was God. He knew who he was. That's what verse 3 is telling us. Despite that, he still lays aside his garments, girds himself with a towel, and does this very humble task of what? Of washing the disciples' feet. And to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Look, I've never washed any. I barely washed my own. And they're all the way down there. Right? I can't imagine what it'd be like to wash somebody else's feet. how humiliating that some people might feel by that. They might feel humiliated. I can't believe, I hope nobody sees me doing this, washing someone's feet. And back then, you have to understand that was, you say, why are they washing feet? Because back then, you really did need to wash your feet. You know, I'm not saying just, you know, splash them around in the soap when it runs down the drain. I'm saying open-toed sandals, and there's no pavement anywhere. Everything, there's animals walking around doing what they do. Your feet got dirty, and that's why I was accustomed back then. When you walked in someone's house, they would wash your feet. But here you have Jesus doing this. You know, and there's a purpose behind him doing this at this particular time, the Last Supper. He's trying to leave them with a message. He's trying to say, look, I'm going to go. You know, let me teach you one last lesson here. I mean, he could have taken this opportunity to teach them anything he wanted. This is what he chose to do. To teach them and show them what it meant to be a leader. To be a leader is to serve other people. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. So you got it right, I am your boss. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. You know, he's expecting us as leaders and as, you know, as the disciples and as followers of Christ, as his sheep, that we should all do this one to another. Now, not literally. We're not going to break out the basins here in a minute, because, you know, there was a practical application here. This is something that needed to be done. People needed to wash their feet. Obviously, it would be just ceremonial if you did something like that. But we should have the same attitude. You know, that when it comes to a brother and sister in Christ, we're willing to humble ourselves to help them. And, you know, he's doing this to the 12 disciples. He's doing this, you know, to the apostles that are going to go on and start these churches, the early church. The people that are going to be later feared. People that are going to be very important people. People that are going to be leaders. And he's telling them, this is how you lead. And I'm preaching this because people understand this is the mentality that I'm trying to have up here. That I'm not coming in here to try and just boss people around or be some kind of a big shot. And so it boggles my mind when people can't come to me about things. And I start to think, it's like, is it because? Look, I know I'm big. My wife tells me, she says, it's because you're scary. Look at you. Other people tell me, have you ever looked in the mirror? You know, and I've had the argument. I said, honey, I want to shave the beard because it makes me look nicer. And she likes the beard, so it's staying on. And other people have told me, don't ever shave the beard off me. It's like some veteran nod, man. Right? But I think about that because, you know, I want to be somebody that's approachable because honestly, and I'm not trying to just big myself up, but this is the attitude that I try to have as somebody that rules. That I'm there to serve you. You know, and we're all here to serve one another. At least we ought to be. And I think that we have that. I think that I've seen that in this church. Where we're willing to help one another, where if people have objections or concerns, you know, we can resolve issues. And I'm not some, and I hope that I don't not perceive as somebody who's unapproachable. Because I am, and I understand why some people might feel that way. And not just because of the way I look. You know, it's because, you know, you see the preacher get up there week in and week out and start spitting all over the place and getting red in the face and yelling and pounding the pulpit. You could think, well, boy, if I go to talk to him about some issue, am I going to get another sermon? You know, I get that. I understand that. But you have to understand that, you know, what we do in the pulpit and what we do, you think this is how I live my life? Go around just, this is, you know, this is how I talk to my wife at home or talk to people on the phone or when I go about my business and just, it's a sermon everywhere I go. I'm just, no. You know, I'm not ranting and raving. I'm actually a pretty quiet person. I like to kind of keep to myself. But sometimes I wonder, it's like, is that why people feel like they can talk, they want to talk to everybody else but me when they have some kind of an issue? And I hope that we never have, that doesn't become the pervasive attitude in this church. And I don't think it will. And I'm just preaching this because, look, I want people to understand that they can come to me about things and I'm not going to bite your head off. You know, I'll talk to you about things. I'll sit down. We can crack the Bible open. We can work things out. The Bible says, if you would, as you start in Hebrews 13, I should have to keep something there. Go back to Hebrews 13. We'll begin reading at verse 7. He said, remember them which have the rule over you. Right? He said earlier, we read in the beginning, at the end of verse 24, he said, salute them. Right? He says to remember them, to obey them, and to salute them that have the rule over you. There's a three-point sermon if you ever need one. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What's this getting back to? It's getting back to servant leadership, leading by example. You know, you should follow the people that rule because of the end of their conversation, the way they live their life. They are supposed to be an example to the flock. Verse 17, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And I can say that honestly, that is my heart up here. I watch for people's souls. I really do. And I care about the people in this church. I love the people in this church. I hope that we can all know each other for until we're all old and gray and gone. I honestly mean that. You know, and that's my heart. And I'm just trying to put people at ease. If there's anyone in this church that feels like I'm just some unapproachable jerk, you know, I hope I'm dispelling it tonight. Because that's not really, and I don't know that anybody does feel that way. But that's what I'm up here doing. You know, so why salute me as the ruler here? Because you know what? This is what I'm trying to do. Watch for your soul. You know, if I get up and I have to preach or say something or do something that steps on your toes, it's not because I'm just trying to make you uncomfortable. It's because I care about who as a Christian, as a child of God, I care about the flock that God has given me here in Tucson. And I'm watching for the souls that are here. And notice he goes on, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You know, and this is something that I think about from time to time, is that, you know, sometimes I think people get this attitude that they're doing me a favor by coming to church. And look, but coming to church is something you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. And look, I know you can go to other churches. If people want to go to other churches, by all means, go. If you can get blessed somewhere else, if you're going to fit in better somewhere else, and they're right on doctrine, and they got the right Bible, and you can serve God there, and I know they're out there, then by all means, go there. And I honestly, I won't harbor any ill will. I've had people do it. But look, it says there that if you don't obey them, if you don't submit, if you don't understand that they're watching for your souls, if you just blow off leadership, if you blow off those that rule, if you don't consider the end of their conversation, if you don't follow their example, that's going to be unprofitable for you. For you. Well, I'm just not going back to that church anymore. Well, where are you in church? Well, just no church is good enough. Look, that's unprofitable for you. Everybody else in this room will be fine. I'll be fine. The people that suffer, the people that don't want to submit to leadership and people that are ruling the house of God, they're the ones that are going to lose out. Now, obviously, the body's going to suffer to some degree. You know, if people don't come, we won't get as much done. True. One less soul winner is more work for the rest of us.
Right.
I get that. But you know who's going to suffer the most? The families of those people. Those individuals, those people that don't want to just get bent out of shape. They can't accept the fact that there's people that are making rules and they're ruling or taking the church in a direction or doing things. That's going to be unprofitable for you. Yeah, I'll give an account, but it's going to be with grief. And I believe that day there will be a mix. It's not going to, it's not going to be, well, I'm just, every person that I give an account for is going to be just joy. Or it's going to be everybody's grief. It's going to be a mix. You know, it's up to you when that day comes. You know, I'm going to say, well, what about brother so-and-so? What about sister so-and-so? Give an account about them. I'm either going to do it with a smile on my face or a tear in the eye and say, you know what, we tried. But notice it's going to be a grief. You know, it should bother leadership when people get out of church, when people quit on church. You know, and it does bother me. I don't want to ever get this, you know, people think that I'm just some callous guy. It doesn't bother me. It does bother me. And not because I care about those people that quit churches. because I know that, you know what, it's not going to profit them. So it says in verse 24, salute them that have the rule over you and all the saints. Salute all of them. But salute them that rule over you. Understand that there are people that are called to rule in the house of God, but they're not there to serve themselves. They're there to lead the church, to serve you, to help you. Acknowledge leadership by obeying, by following their example. And I want to just close by getting a little specific tonight. You know, specifically, you know, acknowledging leadership means this, that come to me when you have disagreements about decisions. If you're uncomfortable with something that I'm doing, come to me about it. Because here's the thing, and I'm not saying every little thing you have to come to me about. And I understand sometimes people just need to talk to other people just to kind of, hey, am I thinking about this right? Am I not understanding something? And people can resolve things with other church members without having to come to me. I get that. But when you're coming to the place saying, well, I'm not thinking about coming to church anymore because of what the deacon's deciding, then come to me. And not several other people in the church. Because for several reasons. One, it's not a good look. It's not a good look when people are going to everybody else but me, when I'm the last to find out that you went to everybody else in the church or several other people in the church before you quit about something, you know, you had a problem with. That's not, and I'm not saying that people that do that are bad people, but it's suspect. Let me just see how many waves I can make before I quit the church by going to everybody else and letting them know how upset I am. And not going to the one guy that can actually right the ship or help me to see things clearly. You can see how that's kind of frustrating for me? Oh, I see. You're just going to talk to everybody else about the problems you have at the church and then just leave. And then I'll be the last to find out. Oh, yeah, they talked to me and they talked to me and they talked to me. It's like, oh, thanks. Because here's the thing. You say, well, you know, what are you going to do about it? I'm the only one who can do anything about it. I'm the one who made the decision to do what we do. Whatever it is, if there's something I do that makes you upset, then come talk to me about it. You know, and I get sometimes we want to talk to other people just so we can get our heads right. But I don't want people to think they're ever inconveniencing me. I always kind of laugh when people call me like, hey, sorry to bother you. It's like, that's literally my job. That's literally what I'm here to do, to take your call, to talk to you, to care for you. And they're like, I know you're busy. It's like, yeah, but I'll drop everything to talk to you. That's what I'm here to do. Here's the thing. Other people, they don't have the authority to make the changes. You know, and maybe I am wrong. Maybe I got something wrong. Maybe I'm not seeing things right. But, you know, if everybody's just nodding their head and saying, yeah, and going along with it, you know, how am I to know? You know, and I assume I try to do things that I think that are right. But if people, you know, are put out by something that I do, going to people that can't make any changes about it isn't going to accomplish anything. You got to come to me. And look, if you have something, and this is why I'm preaching this, I'm not going to bite your head off. I'm not going to jump down your throat. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. I'm going to hear what you have to say. I'm not saying I'm going to agree with you. I'm not saying, you know, maybe you won't convince me. But you'll actually have, I'm the one person that can actually do something about it. It just makes sense to come to me. And it'll keep you from looking like somebody, oh, I'm sorry, who's trying to sow discord in the local church. And can you see how that might look when you're talking to everybody else but me about an issue you have at the church? You know, and people who are sowing discord don't typically quit. They stick around and keep going as long as they can. Right? But I'm just saying it's a bad look for people. And let me just speak for all the other people that get approached all the time. You know, there's always those few people wherever there's an issue that's the person they go to repeatedly. Other people don't want to do my job for me. You know, there's people in the church, they'll take your call, they'll talk to you, but you know what they always end up saying? Talk to deacon. Talk to the deacon. Because they understand that I'm the one person that can do something about it. You know, I was talking to Brother Adam about it. It'd be like if one of his customers called me and started talking about something they didn't like that he did on one of their jobs. Because he's a contractor, right? He goes out, he does home remodels. And just, you know, one of his customers called me up on the phone and said, you know, he put that countertop in and it was a little off. And I really don't like how he, you know, did the baseboard or whatever. I'm like, well, why are you calling me? I mean, I can sit there and say, yeah, I know how you feel. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I'd be upset too. That's not the shade of color. That's what you told him, huh? I can see where you're coming from. But you know what? I can't do anything about it because I'm not Adam. I can't cut you a refund. I can't come back and make it right. That's his job. And when Adam's the one that's getting all the calls all the time about deacon this and deacon that, and he said, call him deacon, it's because, you know what? He doesn't want to do my job. And I don't expect him to. And look, and I appreciate people that do talk to others and counsel. And I'm not saying you can't ever talk to anybody else. Don't run away with this, what I'm saying tonight. But when you have a serious issue with something that I've done or said, or I'm taking the church, or something I'm doing, you know, go ahead, bounce an idea off somebody, talk to them, but you need to talk to me. I'm the only one who can do anything about it. Because I'm the one that made the decision. I promise I won't bite your head off. I'm getting it all out right now. I'm getting it all off my chest right now. Right? I should have had you go to 1 Peter 4. Go to 1 Peter 4. We'll close there. So that's why, you know, I wanted to draw attention to this. So, you know, salute them that have the rule. You know, acknowledge the fact that there are people in the local church whose job is to rule and care for the church, that are there to make decisions, maybe even reverse decisions, maybe take things in a different direction. And those are the people that you need to go to when you have an issue with the church, with something that the church is doing. Not with people who aren't ruling. You need to go to the leadership. But understand that, you know, that's what leadership's there for. It's not to, you know, just serve themselves. And that's the greater takeaway in the sermon, is that, you know, we're here to serve others, all of us. You know, that's the example I'm trying to set. That's the example that Jesus set, is that we are here to serve other people. And that should always be our mentality. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Excuse me. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent charity among yourselves. You know, that charity is another word for love. You know, we should be fervently loving one another, looking out for one another, caring for each other. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. Well, I guess I'll help you if I have to. I'll show mercy. You know, so show mercy with cheerfulness. Put them at ease. You know, use hospitality without being, you know, bent out of shape about it. You ever have somebody do you a favor and you can tell they just didn't want to do it? It's like, I'd rather you just didn't do me the favor. Do without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, God has been very gracious to us. We've received that gift. We should do the same to others. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God giveth. Again, so he's talking about the different, you know, gifts that we have, the different roles that we fill. Some of us speak as oracles, some of us minister. We all minister. Let him do it as ability which God giveth. Why? You know, there's different roles, different diversities of gifts and offices, but it's all the same end. Again, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The end of everything that we're doing in this church is to bring glory to God. To glorify God, to glorify His Word, to do the work of the Lord. That's why we're here. You know, that's my goal. You know, that should be all of our goal. To be a minister to the end that God would be glorified. Look, if we have fervent love and charity, and not to just ourselves, but to all men, God will be glorified. God will be glorified in this church. When we have unity, when we come together and we sing praises unto God, when we leave this place edified, and go out there and live a life that's pleasing to God, God will be glorified. When we go out and preach the gospel, God will be glorified. That's the end of everything that we're doing in this church. And we need to do that with what? With humility and with love one toward another. You know, that's the example I'm trying to set here. You know, as one that rules. You know, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for this group of people that you've assembled together here. Lord, I pray that you would help us each to just desire to live our lives in a way that pleases you, Lord, that glorifies you. Not just when we're gathered together, but every day of the week. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be the kind of leader that you were. Lord, somebody that is patient and long-suffering, and loving. And Lord, I pray that we would all be that way with one another. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go tonight.
Amen. Song number 63. Song number 63, what a day that will be.